More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, for shame. Are you struggling with shame or guilt? Let us help you break free and find the forgiveness, love, and healing you're longing for. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, for shame. We're talking about shame and guilt and self-criticism, and, you know, all of us deal with that to one degree or another. All of us, kind of replay certain mistakes or perceived offenses or concerns that we have over and over. All of us struggle in some way with regret or trying to get past things that maybe we've done or said in the past.
Or just that nagging voice that we're never good enough, that somehow we didn't measure up in our actions, in what we're doing, even in who we are, how we look, what we do all day. Boy, the enemy really likes to get in under our skin and into our minds and steal our joy, steal our dignity, because he's happy when we're miserable. But God didn't create us to be that way.
No, God wants us to know how beloved we are.
That's right.
And that we are forgiven, and that he gives us the grace to heal and grow, and that he loves us. So we're taking your calls right now about shame and guilt and self-criticism, whether it's you or someone you care about. Let us help at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
So are you struggling with a sense of guilt, shame, or the feeling that you can never be enough? Do you tend to beat yourself up over small mistakes or worry that you might have offended someone even when they aren't saying anything to you? Do sins or mistakes from your past make it hard for you to feel like you're God's beloved son or daughter? For that matter, are you watching your spouse, your child, your aging parent beat up on themselves over something that you don't know how to help them with? Let us help you. Let the Holy Spirit's loving correction come into this situation and take away the enemy's lies so that you can stop punishing yourself and rest in God's love.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about overcoming guilt, shame, self-criticism, and all its different forms, whether that's affecting you as a parent, it's affecting you in your walk with the Lord, it's affecting you emotionally. We want to help you experience that love and healing and forgiveness that God has in his heart for you. Again, the number 877-573-7825. And I have to say, you know, there are a lot of jokes, of course, about Catholic guilt and the sort of the sense that to be a faithful Catholic, we should be beating up on ourselves, that's what God wants, so that we can recognize the sins that we've committed and repent from them. You know,
yeah, such a lie from the enemy. It really is.
People think that, you know, the reason we do examination of consciences at the end of the day, examinations of conscience, excuse me.
There you go.
At the end of the day, I get there eventually, is because we need to make ourselves feel bad about the stuff. But that's not it at all. You know, we think of God as the divine physician. And, you know, we can't be healed by the doctor if we don't show him where the wound is.
Yeah, if we never show up at his office or never tell him what the symptoms are or any of that kind of stuff, he can't do anything. The divine physician needs us to open ourselves up to him.
So the idea of an examination of conscience isn't to go to the doctor and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person that I'm sick and that I have these things that are wrong with me, but then never show the wound. The point of the examination of conscience is to say, okay, God, this is where it hurts. This is what's hurting. This is where I'm struggling. Please give me the medicine of your grace and the sacraments and the things that you can do to heal me. So it's not about shame. It's not about guilt. It's not about recrimination. It's about healing. And if the experience of guilt that we have doesn't point us to that healing and that confidence in God's mercy, then there's something wrong with it. It's not from God. And God wants to deliver you from that so that you can experience his love and forgiveness and healing and mercy. 877-573-7825.
And of course, you know, it goes without saying that the most important medicine for this is going to the sacrament of reconciliation. But so many of us struggle with going to the sacrament of reconciliation, receiving that grace, maybe even feeling close to God or very, like, washed clean for a little while. And then those thoughts come back to us where we start beating ourselves up, tearing ourselves down. And Satan loves that. He just loves to be able to try to sneak in and try to undo the grace of the sacrament. Well, that's where learning to control your thoughts, learning how to change your behaviors can change everything and really help you experience the grace of God from the sacrament of reconciliation and from his walking with you every single moment of every single day. Let's help you experience that today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you know, you might say, well, why theology? Well, how could some theology possibly help me deal with guilt and shame and self-criticism? Turns out it can actually help quite a lot. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we took everything God gave us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant, fulfilling life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we are created in God's image and likeness, which means our deepest identity isn't defined by our worst moments. When shame, guilt, or that relentless inner critic takes over, it can be tempting to believe that voice is telling us the truth about who we really are. But that voice is lying.
Yeah, the fact is there's a real difference between healthy guilt and toxic shame. So healthy guilt is rooted in the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, okay, you did something that doesn't line up with the person God made you to be, but we can work together to make it right. Let's get to it. So it feels hopeful, even. But shame and scruples, that's the voice of the enemy saying, you are the problem. You are broken. You're too far gone. You know, listening to that voice means giving the enemy lordship over that part of our life. And it keeps us stuck in a cycle of self-punishment that God never intended for us.
Of course, self-criticism feeds right into that. We think if we beat ourselves up enough, it'll somehow motivate us to change. But it actually does the opposite. Self-criticism activates the brain's threat defense system, and it floods us with stress hormones that shut down the very parts of our brain that we need for problem solving and growth. The enemy knows that and wants us to have to work against the way God designed us to function at our best.
So, the cure for shame and self-criticism isn't actually trying harder. It's learning to be receptive instead of reactive in the face of our mistakes. So that means pausing, acknowledging what happened without catastrophizing it, and then bringing it all to God and praying, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that allows me to heal the damage I caused, but be more the person you want me to be. You know, we don't have to earn our way back into God's good graces. We're already there. Our job is just to cooperate with the grace God's already offering us and take the next faithful step forward to experience his love and healing. Let us help you do that today on More to Life on our show titled For Shame, as we talk about those times when we struggle with shame or guilt that just won't go away, or that self-criticizing voice that is always running us down about something. Let's talk about how to break free and find the forgiveness, love, and healing you're longing for.
And I think it's so important to realize that we were all kind of programmed for this from years of history of how things went, whether it was in school, where for generations, if you got a problem wrong, if you got a bad test score, if you did anything out of kilter with how you were supposed to behave exactly, you got a dunce cap put on your head and you got stuck in the corner, or you got yelled at, or you had to write lines 1,000 times. And that just really put into us over and over again. Sometimes we experience the same kind of stuff at home, where criticism from other people was suddenly supposed to make us behave perfectly and know how to behave differently. And nobody ever taught us how to really sync up with the skills we needed to do well in the world. And Satan loves to use that kind of thing on us, so that we constantly have that in our minds. The people, the trainers at the gym, who used to just yell at us as we would exercise and we would do things and we try to lose weight and get in shape. But it doesn't work. You know, as we were saying, it just puts us into that threat defense system. And it really keeps us in a cycle of constant mistakes and even falling into sin and constant self-criticism. And if you're tired of that for yourself, or you see that somebody that you love, one of your kids, your spouse, your sibling, is dealing with that and you want to be able to help them, well, you're in the right place. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we come before you, and we know that we make mistakes, and we've committed sins and offenses. But Lord, we thank you for the loving correction of your Holy Spirit. You know, your servant St. Paul reminds us in Romans that there is no condemnation for those who are in you. You certainly correct us, but you do it lovingly, and you don't want us to give in to shame or self-recrimination, but rather to hold on to your love and mercy as you, the gentle shepherd, lead and guide us to healthier, holier ways. And so, Lord, we ask you to be able to receive that grace, that forgiveness and healing that allows us to accept your forgiveness, to rejoice in your mercy, to leave behind that tendency to beat up on ourselves, and to know how to help the people that we love who are caught in that trap as well. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled For Shame, as we talk about those times when we struggle with guilt or shame or self-criticism, or we're trying to help someone we care about, you know, our spouse, our kid, someone else we love, who is stuck in that place of guilt or self-criticism. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a question here from Daniel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Washington. He said, my dad passed away 2 years ago. I'm so sorry, Daniel. He said, I hadn't spoken to him for almost a year before it happened. We were never very close to begin with. He traveled a ton when I was a kid. The last time I talked to him, we had a stupid argument. Since there wasn't a lot holding us together in the first place, I just kept putting off reaching out to him. I kept thinking there'd be time to fix it. But then he died. And I can't shake the feeling that I failed him as a son, that a better man would have picked up the phone. People tell me to forgive myself, but that feels like letting myself off the hook for something I actually did. How am I supposed to feel okay about this when I can't go back and make it right with the person it actually mattered to? And that's Daniel, listening in Washington.
Daniel, thank you so much for the question, and I am so sorry for your loss, and I'm sorry for the guilt and the, you know, the self-recrimination that you're stuck in right now. And I do think that there are some ways forward with this. You know, when we are struggling with guilt, I think it's important to start by recognizing that we might have done some things that we regret. Right?
None of us is perfect, that's for sure.
But what we want to be looking at and really praying through is, how do we move forward from this? What do we need to do? And there are a couple of things here that I think are important to keep in mind, and especially as a Catholic, some things that can be very helpful to your healing in this. The first thing I want you to realize is that, you know, this isn't, you know, the relationship that you and your father had was created by both you and your dad. You know, because your dad could have called you at any time too, right? And I'm not saying, so blame him. That's not my point at all. My point is that the two of you had a dynamic that was established, you know, when you were still a child, right? And the distance that existed between the two of you gave you both the impression that you could kind of come in and out of each other's lives at will, and there would always be time to reconnect, even though you weren't all that close in the present. I mean, that was really the way you were raised to think. And so my point is not that you shouldn't, you know, that you shouldn't have called or whatever. My point is that the relationship dynamic that the two of you had, you're blaming yourself entirely for, when it's something that the two of you, and mainly your dad, frankly, created. So that's number one. And it's important to keep that in mind. The second thing, though, as a Catholic, we know that when a person has passed, they're not gone. In some ways, they're more alive than we are, because
we're alive in Christ.
So, and we hope that your father is with the Lord, and you can talk to him. In fact, I would recommend that you spend some time, you know, really praying and asking God to bless him, and to talk to him directly and ask him for his intercession for you, and to say whatever it is that you need to say to him. That's not you just talking to the air. That if we are Christians and you really believe in the resurrection and you believe all the stuff that we say that we believe, then you can still talk to your dad. And now that he is in the presence of the Lord, he wants nothing but the best for you, and he wants nothing more than your healing. And I believe with all of my heart that if you bring this to God in prayer and you talk to your dad, you know, in prayer, that you're going to experience some real grace through that.
And truly knowing that he is in the communion of saints is being able to say to him, Dad, I wish things had been different. I wish that I had picked up the phone and called you. And I'm sorry that I didn't do that, that things got in the way of that, that I thought that there would be more time, or that maybe I was holding a little bit of a grudge. Please forgive me for that. And I am always amazed when someone does something like that, and I've had to do something like that myself, that we end up really sensing in a deep way, or having some kind of sign, that that person is with God, that the person knows that we meant no harm, that they want us to be feeling peaceful and connected to them now and for the rest of eternity. Because this is not over. We will all be together in the communion of saints in some way, shape, or form, and we need to be able to trust in that, and really, as Greg's saying, pray and ask that person for that sense of peace, for that sense of things being in right order.
The other part of this is that grieving is the process of staying connected to the person that you've lost. And so it's not just about seeking his forgiveness. It's mm-hmm. it's about saying to your dad, you know, I would really love to be able to continue to work on a relationship, which I know might sound crazy superficially, but I want you to actually, you know, as you go through your day, you know, just ask for your dad's intercession for different things that you experience. I mean, so, you know, my dad passed, but he loved to fix things around the house, and I'm not great at it. So anytime I have to do something around the house, I'm always asking him to pray for me, you know. Anytime there are things that throughout the day, I just say, you know, Dad, just help me be the father that you were to me, that God wants me to be. Help me to be the husband that God wants me to be. You know, I ask him for his prayers and for his guidance, and I reflect on that. And I have a close relationship with my dad, even though he is past. And I want to encourage you to cultivate that same kind of relationship and that healing that comes from bringing him with you, even because now he is with the Lord. For more on this, if you'd like to talk through this more, if you're not able to run with the advice we're giving, I would invite you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do hope the suggestions will give you a way forward with this. But please know that the recrimination, the guilt, that's been a way of holding on to him. But you don't have to hold on to that. There are healthier ways to connect with your dad and to move forward from this. And if you'd like more personalized assistance, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your questions on our show titled For Shame, as we talk about the signs we struggle with shame, guilt, or self-criticism. We want to help you break free and find the forgiveness, love, and healing you're longing for. 877-573-7825.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, For Shame, as we talk about overcoming shame, guilt, and self-criticism. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you struggling with shame or guilt or that feeling you can never be enough? Do you tend to beat up on yourself over small mistakes or worry that you might have offended somebody, even when they're not complaining about you? Do the sins or mistakes from your past make it hard for you to feel like you're receiving God's love or forgiveness? Or for that matter, do you see your spouse or your child or somebody else you care about beating themselves up and you're not sure how to help them? Whatever the situation is, let us help you tell the Holy Spirit's loving correction from the enemy's lies and stop punishing yourself so you can rest in God's love. 877-573-7825. You know, we were talking, Lisa, in the last segment in our Theology of the Body reflection about how beating up on ourselves actually has the ironic effect of keeping us stuck in stuff, and we tend to think beating up on ourselves is how we motivate ourselves to change.
Yeah, and as I was just saying, you know, I don't know if they do it the same way anymore, but there used to be all these like exercise, getting fit shows on, and you'd see the coaches on there just screaming at people, and yeah. And it's like, you know, it doesn't work, and we know so much more about neurobiology now, and we really know that when we beat up on ourselves or somebody uses that kind of motivation, we just just activate our threat defense system, and we shut down.
Yeah. Well, and since the advent of brain imaging, right, we can see what enables the brain to change and grow and learn, and what locks it down, and what science has discovered. Self-criticism and criticism from others actually causes the brain to shut down and produce chemicals that focus on preservation instead of growth and change. Whereas four qualities, curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love,
the acronym is COAL. It's the COAL is the fuel for change, right? So curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love. And when we face the mistakes that we've made or the mistakes others have made with that spirit of curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love, brain science shows that the brain actually produces chemicals that make neuroplasticity possible. Now, neuroplasticity is the ability for the nervous system to rewire itself, and that's what's required for learning. In order for me to learn something new, a part of my brain that didn't used to be connected to another part of my brain needs to build neurons to connect them now.
Well,
and that's what curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love allow our brains to do.
But that self-criticism shuts that down so fast. I mean, even that first one is just kind of makes you go, because when you've been programmed by the world, by school, coaches, whatever it is, ways Satan gets into our minds, curiosity gets shut down so fast because we think, oh, I shouldn't be curious. Oh, I shouldn't try this new thing because if I do it wrong, I'm messing up. Somebody might be mad at me, and it just shuts us down.
Or it's even curious. I wonder why I'm doing that thing instead of, oh, shame on me for doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Shame on me for making that mistake. It's more, I wonder what the need or intention I was trying to meet when I did that thing that I see as a mistake now, and how could I do it better? I mean, that's the whole kind of approach about curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love that allows us to kind of look at our mistakes and look at our flaws and still grow and change, but not hate ourselves. And that really is kind of the, if you will, the neurobiological affirmation of what St. Paul talks about in Romans 8:1, which is our scripture of the day. I'm tipping our hat a little bit, but it's, you know, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus certainly wants us to repent of our sins.
Oh, yes.
But he doesn't do it in a way that shames us or blames us or heaps coals on us. He does it in a way that says, let's sit down together, understand why you were doing what you were doing. Let me teach you a healthier and holier way to meet that need, to serve that intention. Let's work on it together. And so it's a growth mindset, not a shame and blame mindset. 877-573-7825. We're talking about guilt, shame, and self-criticism. How to get past it on More to Life. 877-573-7825. More with your calls coming up after the break.
The heart of the interior life. With Elizabeth Jingle.
In Rule 12 of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, St. Ignatius invites us to be firm in resisting temptation. He writes, "In the same way, it is proper to the enemy to weaken and lose heart, fleeing and ceasing his temptations, where the person who is exercising himself in spiritual things confronts the temptations of the enemy firmly, doing what is diametrically opposed to them." Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "A quick and firm response strips the deceptive temptation of all its power. The critical point of any temptation is the first moment it is presented to us." Following the guidance of St. Ignatius, persons who exercise themselves in spiritual things must confront temptation firmly and do the exact opposite of the deceptive suggestion. The next time temptation knocks, how will you firmly confront it?
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. You know that person who just gets under your skin? The one where you've tried being patient, tried to be kind, tried praying about it, and you still end up frustrated every single time. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I explain that true Christian love doesn't mean endlessly absorbing another person's bad behavior. Loving someone means working for their ultimate good, and sometimes the most loving thing we can do is set a boundary that says, I want a relationship with you, but I can't pretend that what's happening between us is okay. Setting a healthy boundary is like locking a door to an unsafe staircase. You're not shutting the person out, you're keeping everyone safe. Failing to set an appropriate boundary in a relationship is like not doing your best to prevent someone from walking down those unsafe stairs. In either case, you're not working for their good, and that's just not loving. For more tips on finding peace with the difficult people in your life, see my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show's titled For Shame, as we talk about shame and guilt and self-criticism and how do we get past it? We can still recognize our faults, our sins, our mistakes, but it's okay to do that in a way that leaves the door open for hope and forgiveness and mercy, but sometimes it's hard to know how to do that. Let's talk it out, 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we'd like to celebrate the anniversary of EWTN radio affiliate KFSS 94.5 FM, serving Joplin, Missouri for 11 years.
Woohoo! Congratulations to Steve Duncan and his team at St. Peter the Apostle Church from all of us here at EWTN Radio. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Radio affiliate with your prayers, certainly, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, so we can support you and all the people you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, many thanks and congratulations to Steve Duncan and his team at St. Peter the Apostle Church for 11 years of service in the Joplin, Missouri area with KFSS 94.5 FM.
It all does kind of
easy
run
for
together.
Me to say. All right.
Good acting exercise. Yeah. We'll just do that. Those call letters.
And today we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Susan, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Oh, I love listening to your show.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's actually at a station where I started out. And here's my question. I finally, at my older age, have an opportunity in radio, but it's like five states away, and I'm scared, and I'm wondering, I can't seem to get anyone to ride with me, but I have some good resources to go. I just don't understand why
you mean to take the trip with
like
you or move with you
or for the whole time you're going to be gone? What is it?
Just the trip. If I could get there, I could get squared away. And the man who sent me the contract, because, you know, it's hard to get a contract in the media, he said he'll reimburse me, et cetera. But he's given me time. It's just, I'm really scared. And I have faith. And this is, when he called me, giving me the proposition a couple of weeks ago, I was like, this is what I waited for all my life. And I'm older now. I'm grateful to God, because you know when it's something is from God, it's just, I don't understand why I got all these blockades, where all I need is someone to go with me, and the person that was going to go can't go.
Well, why do you need someone? I mean, it would be nice to have someone to go with you, but why do you need to have someone go with you? Can you tell me more about that?
I guess I'm afraid of driving alone. You know, I'm in Florida, so I got to go all the way up to the Midwest. A little pest. I'm afraid.
So it would be nice to have someone come with you, but it's not I need this because, for example, I'm incapable of driving. I'm not knocking that.
Not at all. I think every woman is kind of programmed to say, I better have somebody with me in case something happens.
I think it's reasonable to want that even and perfectly fine to want that. But it's not a case of, you know, I'm disabled and I'm not able to drive, for example. And the reason I ask that, of course, is because, well, you know, if you needed that kind of support, that could very well be an indication that maybe God wasn't calling you to that. But what I would say is, let's walk through the teaching that Saint Ignatius gave us about how God speaks to us. And I just want you to sit with this. I'm obviously not going to tell you what to do, but I can give you some tips on how to hear God's voice more clearly. Okay. So the first thing that you want to be doing is really being praying about this, right? So, Lord, really just show me, you know, what it is that you want me to do about this. And now we all want God to just sort of knock us off the horse with this big announcement. Susan,
angels
this
are singing.
Is what you want. I want you to do. St. Ignatius said that God does speak to us that way, but he tends to only speak to us that way when it's something we couldn't possibly know that we were supposed to do. Right, so I said the knock you off the horse thing. Like, St. Paul couldn't possibly have known that he was supposed to go from killing Christians to not just being one, but being the best evangelist that the Christianity has ever seen, right? God had to show up pretty dramatically to get him to see that. You know, so there are some times when God wants us to do something, and it would not be within our whatever purview to see that that's what he wants us to do. So that's when he shows up big. Right. You know, the guy, Moses, who stutters, you know, God wants him to go talk to Pharaoh. You know, so God shows up in a big way for Moses with a burning bush. Right.
I mean, these big signs, which God sometimes gives every single one of us, but not every day, is really the tangible thing where in times of doubt, we know he's alive. We know what he wants us to do. We know he's present in our lives. So that makes it a little easier in the times when we're not having those big signs to say, I know I can trust him.
Yeah, so if God isn't giving you a big sign, that doesn't mean he's not talking to you. It means that he knows that you can hear him in other subtler but still important ways. The second way St. Ignatius said God talks to us, it's sort of like watching the sun come up in the morning. You know, you're looking at the horizon line and it's just dark. But then you sit with it and you're praying about it. Okay, Lord, show me what to do. And slowly you start to see the light, right? And slowly something just starts to seem like this is the right thing to do. This is the way to go. I can't necessarily explain it, but I just know. And St. Ignatius said that usually God shows up for us in that way when it's a choice between two good things. Either one could work, but God's sort of tipping the scale toward this thing. And the more we sit with it in prayer, the more this just seems like the right way to go. And then the third way God talks to us is through our intellect and will. You know, a lot of times we think that the voice in our head is, well, that's just me. How do I know that's me? How do I know that's God and not just me? Well, it doesn't matter. Because God gave you your intellect and your will. And if you are uniting your intellect and will in prayer, and you're saying, okay, Lord, you know, help me to see what the right thing to do is. And reasonably, you know, this looks like the right thing to do, then that's probably the right thing to do. And it's God telling you to do that. He's holding your hand while you think through this, and you need to trust that he's speaking to you through your intellect and will. So as you sit with this, if you feel strongly that this is some place that God is leading you to go, if your intellect and will united in prayer is saying, yes, this is the right direction, then you might brings us to the, well, what about the fear? Well, that would be the enemy trying to hold you back. Right. So once you've tested that, okay, this makes sense on an intellectual and on a reason level, this makes sense as I pray about it and sit with it in my heart, that resistance that you feel to doing it is the enemy trying to say, you know, let's not take advantage of that blessing that God wants to give you. And it also presents an opportunity that the Holy Spirit wants to give you to heal a part of you and to help you become stronger in some ways. And that can be scary sometimes. But if we face that fear, then we become a stronger, more independent, capable son or daughter of God. So I want you to take this all back to prayer. I'm not saying what you need to do, right? But if you really do believe with your intellect and your reason, united in prayer, as you sit with it, that this is the right thing for you to do, don't be discouraged by the fear. Recognize that fear is what the enemy is trying to do to hold you back from blessing that God wants to give you, and that it's God giving you an opportunity to heal a part of you that he wants to heal so that you can be a stronger, more confident, more capable woman of God.
And you keep taking that to prayer and also asking God to give you a vision of exactly what he wants you to do. So there's the idea of, all right, nobody's coming with me, but I really know that God has put this on my heart to take this job offer, so I'm going to go and do this on my own. There's also the possibility that, yes, he wants you to take that job offer, but instead of just going on your own, he wants you to hire a moving service and somebody to, you know, take the car and just have you fly there and be able to meet your stuff. There's all sorts of ways that God might be planning to get you to where he wants you to go. But often we just think of it one way or the other. Either I get it the way I think I need it, or I don't. And so you really say, Lord, give me the creativity and the openness to see how you want me to be able to do this, if this is your will. and let me have a certainty about it. Not necessarily concrete, getting knocked off my horse, but just knowing your Holy Spirit is directing my path.
But don't put unnecessary obstacles up. You know, just because something would be good to have or nice to have, if it's not something that you need to make His will happen in your life, don't let it hold you back. Thanks for the call, Susan. If there's more we can do to support you through this fear and help you discern the path that God's having you walk, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I hope you can run with the suggestions that we've made here on the air, and don't hesitate to call us back with any other questions you've got. 877-573-7825, the show today titled For Shame, as we talk about struggling with shame, guilt, self-criticism. How do we leave that behind and embrace the forgiveness, the love, the healing, the joy that God has in His heart for us? 877-573-7825. As we head out for our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Romans 8:1.
There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
And, I shared this verse a little bit earlier when I mentioned I was tipping my hat. But I think it's an important verse because it can be confusing for a lot of people. And I'll be honest, I was confused by it for a long time, too, because I couldn't imagine seeing my faults and my sins and my failures in a way that didn't make me feel condemned. I came to realize the more I prayed through this verse that, well, all the things that we're sharing with you on the show today, that God wants us to look at those faults and failings and sins, but not in a way that has us ashamed of ourselves or beating up on ourselves. Rather, in a way that allows us to see what we were trying to do, what the intention behind even those sins were, and to give God a chance to teach us how to do it in a healthy, holy way.
And I, through this whole show, I just keep getting this image in my mind of the woman at the well. Mm. You know, here's Jesus at the well. She shows up at a time where she doesn't want to be around anybody who's going to condemn her or gossip about her. So it's in the middle of the day. Nobody goes there at that time. And He tells her about all the men in her life, but not in a way that makes her shrink into herself or run away from Him. Instead, it's with love and with grace. And she goes and she says to people, He told me everything I've ever done. But she's saying, look at who He is.
But he gave her what she was longing for.
Right.
He recognized the intention behind that behavior, and He gave her the living water.
Yeah.
That she was looking for that would quench that thirst.
And so she was able to walk away not feeling condemned.
And
because there was no condemnation in her experience of Christ Jesus.
And God approaches us the same way.
That's right.
He doesn't want us to feel condemned by our mistakes and our sins. He wants us to recognize them and learn from them and grow, but to rejoice in the fact that He makes that growth and healing possible. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your calls coming up after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
How serious is our responsibility to participate in furthering the common good? Very serious. According to the Catholic Catechism, participation is the voluntary and generous engagement of a person in social interchange. This obligation is inherent in the dignity of the human person. Participation calls, first of all, for us to be conscientious in exercising our responsibility in areas where we are directly involved, our families, our children's education, and our work. As far as possible, the Catechism urges, we should take an active role in public life. This leads to the Catechism's conclusion that nations which allow the broadest possible citizen participation are the nations to be lauded. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled For Shame, as we talk about guilt, shame, and self-criticism. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Hope, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Hope. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Excuse me.
Hi, Hope. Can you hear us?
Hi. Bless y'all's show. Y'all just always touch my heart. And some of the questions that I had and what I was going to talk about, you already answered in the previous talking to people and what you said. And my problem is overcoming. I was brought up on guilt and shame and manipulation.
So many of us were. Yep.
And it's just, and I wasn't able to be there for my dear mom when she needed me because of that reason. I was so afraid, and I have a lot of some trauma and stuff like that, and it stops me in my tracks. People don't understand, and I'm doing the best I can, but people don't understand. I always feel like I have to justify myself and explain, and. But then I have a few friends that understand, and what you were talking about, how to, just what you told that other lady. I don't want to try to go back and repeat it because it was so good. I don't want to try to paraphrase it and mess it up. But
sure.
You know what I'm saying. And
well, is there something specific that we could help you with, though? Is there something that we could clarify for you or help you through?
Well, it's that living with. I've gone to confession. I've prayed about it, and it just keeps coming back.
How to let it go whenever those sort of past mistakes or sins are haunting you?
Mm-hmm. You know, Hope. Let me just ask you one thing, because it's a lot about you not going to your mom as she was passing. Is how much of you think this is guilt, and how much of you thinks that this is also grief? You know, sometimes we can beat ourselves up as a way of feeling like we're somehow connected to that person. But that's not a healthy way to stay connected. So do you have a sense of that?
Yes. Yes.
Well, so Hope, let me ask you, is it your question specifically about the guilt you feel about not being there for your mom, or more guilt in general about sins that you've committed or mistakes you've made in the past?
Well, the guilt of all my mistakes and the things that I made, even though that circumstances sometimes was out of my control,
You got it. All right. So let's go with that. So now, like you said, you know, your brain is going to naturally, because of the experiences you've had, the traumas that you've been through, the way you were raised, your brain is wired to kind of go to that natural self-recriminating place. Okay. So it's going to be a practice of kind of retraining your brain how to think about that stuff. I was talking about neuroplasticity earlier. We can teach our brain to develop new paths that allow us to think differently about those mistakes and how to move forward from them. But it takes practice. It's like physical exercise. You know, if you had a physical injury and you had to go to physical therapy to heal that injury, it would hurt at first, and it would take some real effort to change the way those muscles worked, right? And those muscles were arranged. But you could do it. You're creating a physical change by the exercises. Well, you're going to be creating a physical change in your brain about how you process your mistakes by doing what I'm suggesting here. It'll get you started, at least. So what I want you to do is when you have those thoughts come back to you, I want you to bring them to God first, okay? And I want you to say, okay, Lord, I really do regret this thing in my life. But then I want you to ask, Lord, show me what I learned from that experience. Help me to see how I grew from that experience. What lessons did I take from that? And then I want you to thank God. I want you to say, Lord, I know I made that mistake, but I want to thank you for using that as an opportunity to teach me how to do this, or to teach me this about myself, or to learn this about life. And I want to thank you for being merciful to me in letting me be able to bring something good out of that experience, right? And that's going to feel weird, because you're going to want to beat yourself up for it. But I want you to thank God for his mercy and for his love and for his willingness to use that experience that you regret to give you good things, to use it for your good, just like St. Paul says in Romans 8, right, 28, where to those who love God, all things work for the good. Even the things that we regret, even the mistakes we made, God uses them to work for our good, to teach us important things, to give us gifts, to help us know ourselves better, to learn healthier ways to show up for other people or to meet our needs. And I want you to look at those mistakes or those sins in that light, to recognize that you don't have to keep beating up on yourself. You just have to recognize that you were trying to do something. You were trying to meet a need. You were trying to meet some intention, but you didn't know how to do it in a way that was virtuous, in a way that was good or healthy for you or others. But God used that experience to teach you. And when you went to confession, you received the grace to do better. And you maybe aren't perfect at it, but you're still learning and you're still growing. And it's all because of God's mercy and his love for you that you're able to do that. And I want you to make that sacrifice of praise that allows you to praise God for those gifts that you got in spite of those things. And the more you do that, the more you're training your brain to think differently about mistakes. You're not denying the mistakes you make. You're not pretending that it's all okay. You're saying, yeah, all right, that was a mistake, but it was an opportunity. But it wasn't something to condemn myself for. It was an opportunity to learn and to grow and to do better. And God is so loving that he lets me make those mistakes so that I can learn and grow and do better.
And he actually, through them, reaches out to us more, and then suddenly we feel that we want him more. You know, if we let that desire for him grow in our hearts because we see the difference between how we chose to live in that moment and how much God really loves us, it can actually make us closer to God over time if we allow the Holy Spirit into the situation.
I hope that this will get you started. If there's more that you want more support with, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You could be dealing with some scruples or other issues with a sort of hyperactive sense of guilt that it might be helpful to talk through with a professional. So if you'd like more personalized assistance, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But start with this, and I think you're going to see some real benefits by finding ways to praise God for those things. With that, we got a quick call. Let's talk to Sabrina listening in Tennessee. Hey, Sabrina. Welcome. Thanks for your call. What's up?
I am a convert, and I always have trouble with the examination of conscience. So I always come up blank, and so I don't go to confession because I don't have anything to take, and I feel as guilty and shamed as anybody else.
Okay. Well, all right. So let's start there. I mean, so I'm going to jump in because we got about 2 minutes, but I want to give you some things to work with on this. Now, again, the whole point of the examination of conscience is not to make yourself miserable and to beat yourself up for things. Let's look at what a sin is. The word sin comes from an ancient Greek word that's an archery term that means to miss the mark. So what mark did I miss? Well, to love, right? Jesus gives us the great commandment, love one another as I loved you. To sin means to not love the way God wants us to not love ourselves, others, or him the way God wants us to. So I just want you to look and say, you know, where can I do a better job loving? Where can I do a better job loving myself, loving God, or loving other people?
That can be your examination of conscience, because sometimes we choose some that we find on the internet or in a booklet or something like that, and they're very much about pulling out, like, the grave sins so we can see them. And we're thinking, well, I didn't commit anything that, you know, was a
horrible word. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob a bank. You know,
I didn't have an affair on my spouse. And we think, well, then I have nothing to say. But when the examination is, where could I have loved others or myself better
or God
this week, or God, thank you, better this week, then that gives us that prompting of saying, oh, okay, well, I did fall a little short of the mark, and I'd love to get that grace from the sacrament of reconciliation.
The point of confession, especially with that kind of examination of conscience, isn't I'm going to, you know, to accuse myself and be, you know, shamed for the, it's not that. It's, you know, the confession is all about healing the damage that sin does to our ability to love. That's it. And so when we can say, you know, where did I struggle to love myself, God, or others the way God wants me to? I can go confess that, not because I want to beat up on myself or accuse myself or shame myself, but because I want help to love better. And so I'm bringing those times when I didn't love as well as I would like to God, and I'm saying, oh, Lord, teach me how to love the way you love me. Teach me how to love myself, others, and you the way you love me. Let me follow your example. And I get the grace and confession to go out and do that. So try to approach it from that perspective, because, you know, we all do need the grace of confession, and even if, you know, going once a month is perfectly fine, you know, but you know, you go and you reflect on that in that light instead of the, you know, what shall I condemn myself for, then you're going and seeing confession as an opportunity to learn how to love the way God loves us and fulfill the great commandment in our lives. Sabrina, I hope that that helps. Don't hesitate to reach out with any other questions. That's all the time we've got for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Today's show is For Shame. And if you are struggling with guilt or shame or self-recrimination, and you'd like to break free and discover the love and mercy and joy that God has in his heart for you, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.